I'm a PhD student in anthropology, and my doctoral research is on the interactions between Africans in China with the Chinese. I focus on discovering the life experience of people, the belonging of the newcomers in the society, and Chinese cultures and China's multicultural culture. To begin with, I'm going to display some photos to you so that you will have a general picture of Africans in China. And okay, you're familiar with this map. Here, I'm going to show that most of the Africans, the majority of Africans, are going to South China. And South China, in Guangzhou, they host the biggest population of African migrants. And usually they are traders and business people. And there are also some Africans in Beijing, which are usually the officials. And here is Guangzhou. And this is the a community where Africans in Guangzhou base. This is the Guangzhou airport. Usually planes flying takeoff for Africans will take off at midnight. So this picture was taken at 10 or 11 p.m. at the airport. You see the queues are full of Africans and some Arab people, and they carry their purchased products in the luggages. And this is the community full of Africans. And this is another community that Africans usually go to buy jeans and garments and sell back to Africa. Here is the churches. Well, church is a sensitive, religion is always a sensitive topic in China. So you will see this Catholic church, they are all underground. They're illegal in China. And about the church, it's usually ethnic based. This one is a Nigerian church, and this one is the Congolese church. The Congolese church is conducted in French, while this one, sometimes it's in Igbo, and sometimes when foreigners come, they will speak in English. And here's the Muslims. Many Africans are Muslims. And you see this is during the Eid. 19% of the people are foreigners. Well, since late 2013, there is police raid in these African communities in the name of hunting for overseers, undocumented Africans, and drug dealers. And many of these shops, which were owned and operated by Africans, were closed. And now the raid is going on, so let's see the future of these African traders in Guangzhou. And here are the kids. Usually, kids will go to kindergarten in China. Sometimes they go to, some will go to the international kindergarten, and others will go to churches. The wife, the lady, some ladies will teach their kids. And there are more and more intermarriage now in Guangzhou. Usually the African man with a Chinese wife, but not the other way. And it's quite, usually they don't register in China because the African men are usually undocumented migrants and they don't have valid visa, a valid document to register in China. So they have their wedding in a church. All right, I'll begin my presentation. And my presentation is today is a study of the belonging of Africans in China, particularly the ones from sub-Saharan Africans. People from North Africa, sometimes they consider themselves as Arabs and sometimes Africans situationally. They encounter different social problems as the sub-Saharan Africans, which I'm not going to discuss here. The question I ask in this paper is whether Africans residing in China will be socially accepted as the member of the Chinese society. Would they become black Chinese, as some Africans want to? Well, legally, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, due to the current China immigration policy, which basically is designed for the wealthy investors or family reunion. In Guangdong, it is required to invest 2 million RMB, equivalent to £200,000, in a project, or be top executive in one of the world's top 500 corporations in China. different from the ones working in the top international corporations. Africans in South China are usually doing low-end business, involving into the economy from below, usually by purchasing relatively small quantities of commodities and shipping them back to Africa, or simply carrying the purchased products back in their luggage. It is relatively small scale and impossible to qualify the application criteria for the Chinese permanent residency. It does not make it easier by marrying a Chinese spouse either. Well, since many Africans, as I mentioned, are undocumented migrants, they don't have valid documents to register. And moreover, the family reunion visa only grants to those who marry to Chinese citizens for 5 years, on an additional condition that the person stays in China for no less than 9 months every year. It is not easy to fulfill the goal for African traders because they have to go back to their home country in Africa to deal with the business. However, as Africans arrived in China, they were impressed by the country's infrastructure and social order. Xiaobei, as you see before, is one of the communities African concentrates in Guangzhou. It's seen as essence of modernity. Trading malls, market complexes, railways, metros, inner city and intercity express roads are seen there, providing Africans with the living and trading friendly environment. In addition, with the continuing rich business opportunities and secure social environment, Africans have found China an attractive place to stay. During my fieldwork, more and more African informants told me that they are now not only seeking business opportunities in China, but also attempt to remain in China on a long-term basis. Well, the definition of long-term basis is varied from different people. For the Chinese immigration, long-term basis means more than 6 months. And from Africans, some will regard 3 months as long-term staying, and some will regard 1 year. And usually, every stay, they cannot remain in China more than 30 days. So, which means every month they have to go out and re-entry. And usually, that's one of the reasons that why they choose Guangzhou, because Guangzhou is close to Hong Kong, Macau, Malaysia, as many Muslims go. So it's quite convenient for them to cross the border and re-entry. Well, anyway, some want to make China home and are striving for Chinese permanent residency and want to ultimately become Black Chinese. I will explore if they will be accepted by the Chinese society by examining the encounters Africans have in China and the Chinese attitude towards them. I argue that due to the current social, racial, and business encounters in China, it is difficult for Africans to be accepted as a member of the Chinese society. But they are not excluded and segregated either. They are attached strangers in the Chinese society. They have themselves attached by living, establishing business in China, learning Chinese language, and some marrying Chinese spouses, and having mixed blood children. I'm going to say more about the backgrounds of Africans in Guangzhou. They come since the 1990s. Why do they choose China? Some previous researchers consider it as the consequence of the Asian financial crisis, which spurred African traders who used to trade in Thailand, Hong Kong, Malaysia, and Indonesia to China, where the market at that time remained relatively stable. The influx of African population to China is also stimulated by some factors from the Chinese side. First, as you may know, the fact that China is establishing its status as the world's largest manufacturer of low-cost products constantly attracts Africans to the country. And the number is increasing as more and more Africans have seen the rich business opportunities by trading from China and the great consuming demand of the African market. Secondly, the remaining genial Chinese immigration policy enabled Africans to easily obtain a visa to enter China as opposed to those of Europe and North America. I was told by a Gabonese informant that he had to wait for half an hour to get American visa. It's not to get a decision of the American visa. Well, he only needs 3 days to get a Chinese visa. So, you see why many choose China. As the business network of African traders have established, usually ethnic-based networks, which means Somalis only deal with Somalis, Kenyans deal with Kenyans. It facilitates the process of purchasing in China and transportation of merchandise to Africa. In other words, it has reduced the cost for both traveling and trading in China. Thus, it is not surprising to see an increasing African population moving to China. Africans in China are mainly concentrated in the capital city of Guangdong Province, as I mentioned before, in Guangzhou. Maybe you will be more familiar with its former name, Canton. The exact number of the African population is not available by officials, and it is estimated by scholars and mass media to vary from 15,000 to 200,000. Guangzhou holds the biggest African population among all cities in China, and the number of Africans staying in Guangzhou is of 14% amongst that of all foreigners in the city. People from every country of the continent can be found in China, while Malians, Nigerians, Egyptians, Guineans, South Africans, Angolans, and Algerians are among the biggest population in Guangdong Province, as told by an official from the immigration office. It is the first time in contemporary Chinese history that a sizable and significant number of Africans living and trading in China. Africans in South China are largely embedded in business, commonly trading with Chinese, sourcing in China, and selling in African markets. They trade all kinds of industrial products, from fabric to garments, from cosmetic products to domestic appliances, from construction materials to heavy machineries, and from legal, semi-legal to illegal commodities. It is the business evolving into an economy of globalization from below, which is relatively small scale and informal. So it is essential to build up personal networks and maintain interpersonal relationships, which are mainly based on personal trust in such business. Africans used to make China as a springboard in their transnational movement to accumulate capital by doing business in China and then migrate to the Western world. Two factors resulted in this decision: that the strict immigration control of Europe and North America and the relatively loose visa policy of China. Many Africans do not come, though, with an initial aim to permanently stay in China, but to trade, to study, and to explore. Some of them just follow the trend to China. These people are usually with a middle-class family background who have capital to travel, to trade, and to move voluntarily and self-motivated. Well, in Guangzhou, I asked an African, why did you come to China? He said, to do business. And I asked him, then why did you choose Guangzhou? He said, well, I didn't really know it. I didn't really choose it. Many people in Africa go to China. It sounds like a good place for business. I am a businessman, so I thought it would be worth going to China to explore. I went to a travel agent and in my country and want to buy the ticket. I said I wanted to buy a ticket to China. The lady in the agent asked me, where will you go to China? I don't know, just give me a ticket. Where do people usually go? And the lady said, Guangzhou. Okay, Guangzhou then. So he came to Guangzhou. He didn't know that Guangzhou was not the capital of China until he arrived Guangzhou. And he told me that many Africans staying in Africa now still think that Guangzhou is the country, a capital of China also. Well, previous researchers have shown that the development of technology and transportation have boosted international movement, but it has not led to a dramatic growth of international migration, but resulted in a growth of return migrants that evolve into non-migratory mobility, such as business trips. The majority of Africans I'm talking about in China fall into this category when they just come to China. One of the most important features of this African phenomenon in China is that the Africans are travelers to come to China to buy and carry the purchased commodity back to their home countries. That's what you just saw in the photo of the airport. It is common to see African traders trading back and forth several times a year. And the more established traders may prefer to become a middleman and or a cargo handler. who operate companies in China. They are the group that tend to long-term stay in China. To be a middleman, one should have living experience in China. Usually, they will say at least 1 year. And he should know Chinese, even a bit. However, these are not only for communication with the Chinese suppliers, but for convincing their African clients that they have the ability to deal with Chinese. Even so, they are not necessarily to settle in China and adapt to the Chinese culture. While it is essential to have a stable relationship with the Chinese suppliers. Now I'm going to turn to the encounters of Africans having China. Firstly, I'll talk about encounters in business. Developing a career, often by doing business, is the first and crucial step for Africans in China. However, they encounter a lot of problems in doing business with the Chinese. Among them, building up trust relation with Chinese suppliers or Chinese middlemen is the biggest challenge. It is common to see both sides claim to be cheated by the other. From the African side, a widely known story is, I ordered something from a Chinese factory, I paid 30% deposit, but they gave me something wrong. The color was wrong, the design was different from the sample I provided. They ensure that they will make the product exactly the same as the sample, but they lied to me. Now I could not get my deposit back while I had the wrong product, which I would never be able to sell. Another trick that is commonly accused of by African buyers is the Chinese having the goods adulterated. It happens a lot if the African clients are not monitoring the packing alongside. A Ghanaian trader told me her story of getting cheated in China. She bought a carton of ladies' slippers in a famous trading mansion in Guangzhou, in Xiaobei. And then she paid all the money and asked the Chinese company to send the packed goods directly to her hotel, which she was going to take to the airport and carry back to Ghana. And then she normally will just carry the carton to the airport. But that time she was so happy because she thought she bought something that she liked. So she decided to unpack the box and get one pair to wear immediately. To her surprise, only the first layer of the slippers in the box were real, and all the rest were made of paper. And they were of smaller size. She was so angry, and she carried the carton of the slippers back to the shop and asked to have them changed. But the Chinese merchant denied they will not change anything for her. The Ghanaian lady said that those slippers are just garbage. The size was too small for African feet, and the color was not shiny enough for Africans. No African would ever buy them. She left all the garbage in the shop and left. All the loss, of course, were on her. She said that now it is very difficult for her to trust any Chinese business people. She has learned a lesson from being cheated. Now, no matter how much time it takes, she will check all the purchased commodities piece by piece and have them packed under her eyes to avoid being cheated. From the Chinese side, Africans also cheat. Chinese often complain that African buyers disappear without paying the balance. This is how the two sides do business. The African buyers will pay 20 to 30% of the whole payment as deposit. Then the Chinese suppliers will prepare the goods and pack them, send them to the appointed warehouse by the buyers. Usually, it's run by a company of the buyer's same nationality. Like a Somali will have her package sent to the Somali warehouse. When the African buyers receive the money, receive the products, they will pay the remaining 70% to the Chinese factory. The problem is that after delivering the goods, the Chinese suppliers will surprisingly find that they failed to reach the African buyers anymore. The Africans just disappeared. The Chinese feel cheated by the Africans. Some claim that they will never send goods to Africa, to Africans unless after receiving the whole payment. Both Africans and Chinese can cheat. While the Chinese side seem to have more power in cheating because they know the Chinese market better. In the Ghanaian lady's case, for example, she was definitely cheated by the Chinese supplier. The Chinese knew how to cheat. They also knew the Ghanaian would find no way to complain. Meanwhile, much more being cheated experiences was caused by miscommunication and misunderstandings. An interesting story told by a Kenyan
said that her friend had a Chinese factory make some quantity of caps for him, specifically requiring the factory to put a particular logo on the cap. The Chinese factory managed to copy the same design of the cap, except that they changed the logo. They explained to the African, this logo is better, yours is not nice, so we changed it. Is this a cheating because the Chinese make different things from what the Africans ordered? Most people would say that this is more misunderstanding than cheating. The Chinese were so arrogant that they thought that they had the power to decide which logo was more beautiful to be printed on the cap. Moreover, they did not understand that what the Africans really needed was the logo on the cap, but not the cap itself. Sometimes the misunderstanding is caused by language barrier and sometimes by difficulties in cross-cultural communication. Sometimes Africans will bargain too low a price and the Chinese factory will still make the deal because they don't want to lose any business. However, there is no way to produce such goods on such a low cost. So they would just provide products of worse quality in order to pocket more price difference. When receiving the products, Africans would feel cheated, therefore refusing to pay what they own. Consequently, without receiving the rest of the payment, Chinese suppliers would feel cheated as well. So both sides are trapped into a vicious circle. Second encounters I'm going to talk is encounters in romantic relations. African-Chinese couples have become more and more visible in Guangzhou, as shown in the picture. Mostly, husbands African and wife Chinese. Even so, it is commonly seen that a Chinese lady's family does not accept such intermarriage. I learned in the field that a number of couples have broken up because disagreement of the marriage from the Chinese family. Usually, it's not until the Chinese women get pregnant that she can ultimately marry to the African boyfriend. In some cases, what is worse, the women's family would rather compel their daughter to abort than agree her to marry the African. I was told in the fieldwork that a Chinese lady was locked up at her room by her parents because she refused to abort, and her phone was taken by the parents to prevent her getting in touch with the African boyfriend. It was no doubt a tragedy. It happened largely because whom the lady wanted to marry was an African man. From the Chinese parents I interviewed, including those who have daughters married to Africans and who have not, the discontent of having their daughters have an African spouse is from, firstly, the dislike of a black-skinned people. Secondly, the worry that their daughter is cheated by African, especially the overseers. And thirdly, the unwillingness to have their daughter married far away. There are indeed some few lucky ladies that have married to African husband with the parents' blessing, at least with the family's approval. Some, regardless of their family's disagreement, insisted on marrying to Africans. Some Chinese family will finally accept the marriage as time goes by, especially when their mixed blood grandchildren were born. Some, however, were not that lucky. A Chinese lady from North China told me her story that she had married to a Nigerian man for 7 years, even 7 years. They have 3 children. Thanks to her husband, she can now live in a good life in Guangzhou, where they do business. Yet, she still cannot take her husband back home. She said her family just don't know anything about the blacks. In the Chinese New Year, when Chinese family get together as customary, she can only take her 2 children with her back home, leaving her African husband in Guangzhou, simply because her family can accept only as far as the mixed blood children. She feels uncomfortable to even let her hometown people know that she has an African husband. From the Chinese I interviewed, marrying an African is marrying down is a common comment. Explain why the marriage is not acceptable by many Chinese families. It is because of the black skin color, and more importantly, what the black skin color represents in the Chinese imagination, destitution. However, the African man probably may be much wealthier than the Chinese lady's family. The women who marry to Africans are usually those who from the poor rural areas, as initially international migrant workers in the city themselves, they usually are marginalized in an urban society. Marrying foreigners, whether with a black or white skin, to them is usually a way to upgrade themselves, at least in the financial perspective. The marriage is in fact an empowerment for both the African husband and the Chinese wife. The African has better chance in business success because he has a Chinese wife who can deal with the Chinese suppliers and avoid getting cheated. He also has better chance to renew a visa to remain in China. The wife gets to enhance her economic status in the society via the marriage. Both the common experience of being turned down in a romantic relations by the Chinese side, no matter what reason the Chinese have, make Africans in China feel discriminated. And the third encounter I'm going to talk here is about the low tolerance of religion in China. Religion is an important issue to Africans. Many Africans are Christians or Muslims, Catholics, while Chinese, especially the Han Chinese, are mainly atheists. Chinese are always accused by Africans of having no beliefs. Africans say, "I believe in God and Chinese believe in God." From the Chinese perspective, their lack of knowledge of religion. I'm a Chinese myself. When I grew up, I hardly hear anything about religion. Religion is often associated with, if not equally to, superstition, which is a bad thing in our education. If you are a Christian or Catholic, you'd better keep it as a secret. A Chinese imam I interviewed told me that her 16-year-old daughter was made to feel shameful about the family's Islamic belief. She was born as a Muslim, but she had never entered a mosque voluntarily. Religion has always been a sensitive term in China, especially when religion is associated with foreigners, is much more a problem for the Chinese officials. A Nigerian church I know in Guangzhou was forced to move from the city center to a suburban area. It was found by the police when they were having church service combining a New Year party, which was normal. And they were of bad luck, however, because the police were also having New Year party at the same hotel. Policemen were unfortunately uncomfortable to see 10,000 or so, a thousand or so Africans gathered together. They asked them to leave the hotel as soon as the New Year came, and they would come again to clear the place after 15 minutes past the New Year. The church could no longer rent the place for church service after that. They have to move to the city border, where it's unseen by the police and city administrators. And because, as I mentioned before, the church are underground, they usually have to rent the hotel place, the hotel or meeting room, to have the church service. Compared to the African Christian churches, all of which are underground in China, the mosque is seen as the epitome of globalization. Foreign Muslims seems to suffer less in praying, since at least they can do that openly and legally with the Hui Chinese and the Uyghurs. I'm going to talk about some of the Chinese stereotypes to Africans, which make the Africans suffer in China. Chinese have many stereotypes about Africans, often in terms of skin color and economic status. In the interview, many Chinese correlate Africans with the terms such as black skin, poor, uneducated, and other negative descriptions. More offensive, please. A starving black guy in the jungle, quoted, is a common image of Africans in the mind of the Chinese, as I interviewed, even today. The fact is that, however, the Chinese, even the ones who do business with Africans in everyday life, do not realize that not all Africans are black. For example, the ones from the North and the ones from South Africa probably have lighter skin color. They also do not understand that many Africans in China are not destitute, for they at least have the capital to travel to China and to do business in a foreign land. And many Africans I met in Guangzhou can read and speak different languages and have college degrees. A 23-year-old Nigerian man I met in Guangzhou can speak 9 languages. All in all, Some Africans in Guangzhou actually enjoy a higher economic capability and obtain better education than the average Chinese do. Chinese stereotypes of Africans are generated from the Chinese discourse on skin color. Skin color has been used to draw boundaries between people, to construct national identity, and as a tool to unite the colored race to resist the white in contemporary China. In the mind of the Chinese, yellow skin represents superiority, whereas the black to be barbarian, poor, ugly, Such perception affects the way Chinese treat Africans. Some Chinese today correlate black skin with laziness and dustiness. An African friend of mine said that he was repeatedly asked by Chinese that when was his last time to take a shower. Because the Chinese said if he took showers every day, his skin color would not be dark. He was worried that the Chinese would refuse to do business with him because they think that he's too lazy to bathe. Chinese also stereotype Africans from the source of mass media. An African once asked me, why is it that every time a Chinese channel refers to Africa, they will show scenes of desert, grassland, AIDS, violence, and other deserted and barren images? How can I make the Chinese to believe that our land is different from what they see? It is rigorous, it's rich. A Chinese merchant who has been doing business with Africans for 6 years told me that she has always thought that Africans are so poor that they had to come to China to make a living. But she never realizes that the poor people will not be able to afford their air ticket to China. In addition, news reports on Africans in Guangzhou dealing with drugs and committing to crimes also contribute to the Chinese imagination of horrible, violent Africans. A Chinese lady told me that she held her breath and wanted to escape when she was alone with an African man in a lift. This lady was very well educated. However, all the news of Africans' rape suddenly came to my mind when the lift gate closed, she said. I was so scared to remain in a closed space with a black man. Stereotyping by Chinese of the black colored people as ones of low economic status affect their relation with the Africans. The stereotypes and imaginations of Africans from Chinese make it difficult for the two to build up and maintain friendship, let alone for the Chinese to accept Africans as a member of the society. Well, I think I'm running out of time, so I just briefly conclude that Africans in Guangzhou are not segregated in ethnic enclaves since they live with the local Chinese in the local residential area. And as traders, they do business with Chinese suppliers. They interact with the Chinese. However, they are segregated in a sense that they live African life in China rather than adapt to the Chinese one. They eat African food in African restaurants. They work until midnight just to keep in pace with their African life and keep in touch with their clients in Africa. They speak in English, French, Portuguese, Arabs, or the African dialect. In addition, with some Chinese occasionally, if they can, in daily life in Guangzhou. Some previous research argued that the majority of Africans will return to Africa from China because misunderstandings and local discriminations and China's strict control over foreigners make it unlikely for them to remain in China. Some, however, realize that the recent trends that many Africans prefer to remain in China if they can, often with families. The ones that advocate Africans will leave China suggest that Africans bring their cultures with them while working and studying in China than to adapt to the Chinese culture, because they do not aim for permanent stay in the country, while others study their integrations and adaptations of the Chinese in the Chinese society. From my fieldwork, I have found that it is not just a simple remain to adapt and live and chop into the African culture issue. Even though for the Africans who intend to stay on a long-term basis or to settle permanently to become black Chinese, they find themselves encounter a lot of business, romantic friendship, and racial problems in China. Stereotypes from the Chinese and distrust between the two are the main factors that prevent Africans from socially becoming Chinese. Despite the increasing interactions in business, and in daily life between the two groups, The experience of being cheated, commonly experienced by both Chinese and Africans, have hindered their relationship. China is primarily an ethnic society rather than a civic society, which means one has to be born to be a Chinese. It is highly impossible for a foreigner, especially a different color, skin color foreigner, to be accepted as Chinese. Well, about the future of Africans, I was optimistic of Africans' long-term stay in China and as well as China's multicultural future, because I saw the intermarriages are becoming more and more common, cross-cultural communications continue to be conducted in a broader and deeper ways, and more mixed children are being raised in China. I thought if the notion of black Chinese indeed has any chance to be possible, this might just be some first sign. But now, honestly, I am uncertain, especially the police raids in Guangzhou is continuing. And there's just news last week that there's a large police raid cracked down African gang in Guangzhou, which is so-called an international African gang. So the situation of Africans in Guangzhou is quite unclear. So I'm going to stop here. Thank you.